Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. Katie, your children's story made me wonder if the world has the same attitude towards the gift that God gave us. Kind of turn our nose up. Is that all you've given us, Jesus? sad, very sad. But that's a good story. I didn't know that happened to you. Welcome to the real world. That's how kids find out what the real world's about. Well, let's have a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Sabbath day, and we thank you that we have this opportunity, and we pray, Father, that these words today will in some way bless us and help us to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today I have a story. The main message today is a story, and this story's been around for a while, so you've probably heard it before, but when we get to the end of it, we'll take a couple of things that maybe we can get from this story, and maybe it'll help us. So this story takes place in World War II, and it's about a man named Fabian Chaubendorf. And he, as many of his countrymen did at the time, got caught up in the Hitler hysteria of the Third Reich. And he joined the German army before World War II began. He was bright, ambitious, and dedicated, and he was quickly promoted, becoming a high-ranking officer in the German military. Now, there had always been a fair amount of distrust and discontent among the top officers in the German military about Hitler. And before long, Chaubendorf partook of the same discontent, that a lot of grumblings and stuff. They were careful how they said that, though. He was disillusioned with Hitler and this disastrous war that the Führer had led the nation into. Fabian got involved in an officer's plot to kill Hitler. And on March 13, 1944, during a visit by Hitler to Army Central Headquarters, Fabian Chaubendorf smuggled a time bomb onto Hitler's airplane. The plane was to fly Hitler back to Berlin. And had the device gone off as planned, history would have been changed then. And who knows how many thousands and thousands of lives would have been spared. But if you're familiar with World War II at all, you know that it was a failed attempt. The bomb didn't go off. The time bomb was put on the plane in a case of cognac, and it's believed that the detonator may have failed because of the cold in the airplane. It was put in a luggage compartment, and somehow that affected the altimeter in the bomb, and it just didn't go off. So unfortunately for Chaubendorf and all the other conspirators, they knew they were in trouble. The bomb was found, and it was traced back to Chaubendorf and to others. And these officers were arrested, and Chaubendorf was arrested on July 20th, 1944, by the Gestapo. And sure enough, he was imprisoned and tortured, but he was determined not to talk. He didn't want to tell who else was involved in this plot to kill a Hitler. But during this torture, Chaubendorf's arms were chained behind his back. Screws were attached to his hands, which drove spikes in his fingers. And when this proved ineffective, he was strapped down on a bed frame with his head wrapped in a blanket. And while other form of torture equipment injected spikes in his legs and thighs, this he managed to nerve himself to endure. He was also strapped in a medieval manner to a frame designed to stretch his body, either with sudden jerks or by gradual pulling. Chaubendorf wrote about this experience in a book, The Secret War Against Hitler, and he said, "We all made the discovery that a man can endure far more pain than he would have deemed possible." I don't want to find out, but those who had never learned to pray did so now and found that prayer and only prayer can bring comfort in such terrible straits and that it gives a more than human endurance. That's something, and I believe that. We also learned that prayer of our friends and relatives could transmit currents and strengths to us, end quote. So they prayed, and that helped him get through this. And that's certainly something we can learn from. Hopefully we'll never be tortured, but who knows in this world? I mean, justice is sorely lacking in this world, and it's just a mess. So after spending a little time in jail, I mean like a year or so, the haggard prisoner was brought into a courtroom on February 1945. And Fabian Schaubendorf was brought before this infamous judge in the Nazis' People Court. Now, the outcome of this kangaroo court for anyone involved in the previous year's missed bombing on Hitler, that was foreordained. You know what was going to happen to you. The day before Schaubendorf went in, movements of the ineffectual but conscientiously politically statesman Karl Garlander had been hung for his part. He went in the day before Fabian went in. So as Fabian waited his tongue lashing and inevitable condemnation at the hands of this ruthless Nazi judge, Roland Frisler, a very incredible thing happened. As Fabian Schaubendorf was standing before this ruthless judge, Frisler, waiting to hear that he was about to be hanged very shortly that day, a bombing raid led by future Nuremberg prosecutor. Now, if you know anything about World War II, after the war was over and they arrested all these Nazis, and these leaders were brought to Nuremberg. This is a town just outside of Berlin, and they stood trial there. The Allied forces conducted a trial against these atrocities that these German officers did. So this bombing raid was led by a future Nuremberg prosecutor. That's a pretty odd thing. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Rosenthal. And when he dropped the bombs, it struck the People's Court, killing not the prisoner, but it killed the judge, Frisler. Yes, that's right, it killed the judge right then and there, and Frisler was crushed by a steel beam there in the courtroom, and he was still holding on to Schaubendorf's file, was in his hand when they dug him out, and he still had his file in his hand. Fabian Schaubendorf's file was still in his hand. Now, that is an incredible thing, and that's why this story's been around a while, because it's a pretty incredible story. So the people at the hospital, I mean, they dug Frisler's body out and took it to the hospital, but he was dead. But the workers there at the hospital said that, this is God's verdict. And, of course, you're not supposed to talk like that. Any SS officers are around, you're going to get it. But nobody disputed that. Everybody believed that it was God's verdict. Judge Frisler hysterically badgered defenseless prisoners in farcical show trials, obstinately obedient to the Third Reich and personally responsible for thousands of executions. Judge Frisler was a hard guy to admire. And now he's dead. In the confusion of the bomb blast, Schaubendorf was hustled off to detention, unsentenced. He spent the last months of the war being shifted from one concentration camp to the next. The Third Reich, and admittedly it had a few other things on its mind in those days, neglected to kill Schaubendorf. No trial. Now, things were starting to become unraveled for the Third Reich as the Allied forces were coming into Germany and getting closer to Berlin. So things were starting to come unraveled, and it just got overlooked that they hadn't done anything with this guy. He got sent off to prison and kind of forgotten about. Well, his last transfer was to Dachau. that famous prison where they killed so many Jews. That's where his last transfer, he was sentenced to Dachau. And he was freed by the 5th U.S. Army on May 5th, 1945. So a little over a year and so many months that had gone by when this ordeal had taken place. And the SS had bailed out, and they left the prisoners, and the 5th Army came in, and he was freed. Now, that's a pretty remarkable story. We had the bomber pilot becoming a former prosecutor. We had a judge getting killed, and not the convict, not the person brought in for trial. So this is a pretty amazing story already, but that's not where this story ends. There's more to this story. And Fabian survived the war, and he went on to get a law degree. He practiced law, and eventually went on to get this, to be a well-known and respected judge in Germany. Can you believe that? It's true. He became a judge. He, who had been moments away from being hanged, lived another 35 years. From 1967 to 1975, he was a judge of the Constitution Court of West Germany, the country's highest court, be like our Supreme Court. He went on to become a Supreme Court justice. Schaubendorf died in 1980. That's an amazing story. He went from being a convict to the Supreme Court judge. This is what's so fascinating about the story. Here was a man who at one point was at the lowest possible station in life, a prisoner that was condemned to death, and yet before it was all over, he becomes a judge in the same country that had condemned him to death. Talk about trading places. And now, I'm sure you can see the parallel with our Lord Jesus here. Just before Jesus was to be killed, he stood before his judges, the religious leaders of Israel, and they were questioning him, trying to trick him, trying to antagonize him, and it wasn't going too well with the judges. Jesus wasn't somebody that you could trick. Here's how Mark described what happened next. Then the high priest stood before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is the testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus responded by saying, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." That's in Mark 14:6 through 62. Now, don't miss the importance of Jesus' answer. He stood there, an outcast, a prisoner, like Frizzler, one of the dregs of society, looked the high priest right in the face and basically said, "Yes, I am Christ, and not only that, but one day I'm coming back on the clouds of heaven with my Father and with all power, and I will render justice and judgment to the inhabitants of the earth." And don't we need justice to this earth? Can you see? Jesus came to the earth to die for our sins, a sacrifice made on our behalf. But that's not his only role, not by a long shot. Sure, Jesus is our creator. He's our redeemer. He's our lawgiver. He is, after all, our king. But he's also our judge. And this is where the parallel with Fabian Schaubendorf comes together. Jesus is going to come back one day very soon and render justice and judgment that is sorely lacking in this world. Jesus is coming back in order to make right all the wrongs that have made life so miserable here on earth. And I'm ready for that, aren't you? Yes, like Fabian Schaubendorf, the lowly Jesus is going to come back to the same world that judged him worthy of death. Only this time, he's going to be the judge, the righteous judge, who will, as the Bible says in Romans 2:6, render every man according to his deeds. Now, just a couple of thoughts here. I didn't speak to you too long. This will get done soon. There's a dramatic role reversals here, role reversals. You can see that. Jesus stood before the earthly courts and was condemned, and how they basically judged the judge of the universe. And what a role reversals that will be when Jesus comes back as judge. Also, this story made me think about the many people who have chosen to follow Jesus, follow God, and have been tried and persecuted and rejected by this world. The Bible tells us the redeemed, in a reversal of roles, they will be judging the world. You know that. The saints will judge. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says, now, see, we're being judged. A lot of Christians are criticized. We talked today in the Sabbath school class about when you're out and about, people judge you. They, you know, they pick up you're a Christian. Well, they want to see what kind of Christian are you. And you're being judged. And Christianity in general is being judged and misaligned. Anyway, 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:2 says, don't you know that the saints will judge the world? Well, right there it is. Paul's asking, don't you know that? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Don't you know that we will judge angels? Did you ever hear that? I'm talking about fallen angels, the demons, the third that fell out of heaven with Satan that are here on this earth. We will be involved in their judgment. Now, not whether they're guilty or innocent, but the length of punishment. And this last thought, there's one more thing here. In the book of Revelation, we read about just before Jesus comes, the saints will be faced with a death sentence. And that death sentence won't be carried out, because when Jesus returns, their plans are going to be changed. Their plans will be, of course, destroyed. They will not kill God's children. The redeemed will be saved. They will be taken to heaven, where they in turn, with Jesus, will judge. And that's another amazing reversal of roles. So I hope that this will help you in the new year. There's a lot of injustice in this world, but one of these days, it's all going to be changed when Jesus comes back. And we just have to keep the faith and keep keeping on with what we believe and doing what we can to help. And one day, it will all be different than what it is now. And that's when we'll say, here is our God. He has come to save us. Amen. We won't be hiding under the rocks. Thank you.